Continue from yesterday. We'll review and continue.
Review and continue.
About the famous question of a Kohen, a wife of a Kohen who is pregnant. Is she permitted to enter an Ohel HaMeis? Is she permitted to enter a cemetery? Because
she is carrying a fetus.
Correct. So there's two factors one has to know. In general, the Torah says, Emoro a Kohanim b'nei Aaron, that the laws of Tumas Kohanim, the laws of the prohibition of someone going into the cemetery only applies to men and not to women. So if you're a daughter of a Kohen, you're a wife of a Kohen, it doesn't apply. That's one fact you have to know. And second, we have another fact, Emor v'amarta l'hazia gedolim ala ketanim. Chazal tell us there's a prohibition on the gadol. There's no prohibition on the three-year-old, but the adult can't bring the child into a Ohel HaMeis, into a cemetery either. So therefore, if the woman is pregnant, so assuming it's a problem, we'll see if it is, she'd be taking the little child into the cemetery, which would be a violation of Lahazir Gedolim Al Ketanim. So is it a problem of an Ashes, a wife of a Kohen, entering a cemetery? So the first one to discuss it was the Rokeach, one of the Rishonim. He was asked whether a wife of a Kohen can enter a cemetery. So he answered yes, based on the following principle. That we know we have one principle, Safek Daraisa Uchumra. We have one principle, a doubt regarding a biblical law was strict on. We have another principle, Safek Darabanan Wakula, a doubt regarding a rabbinic law will lean in on. And there's a third principle called Svek Sveka, if there's a double doubt. So the Rokeach says, so a double doubt is permitted. What is the double doubt? The Rokeach says, there's one doubt, maybe it's a male, maybe it's a female. That's one doubt. And even if it's a male, maybe it'll be a nathil, maybe it won't make it to fruition, the baby won't be born. And they have a base on the double doubt. The Rokeach says it is permitted for a pregnant wife of a Kohen to enter a Ohel HaMeis. That's what the Rokeach says. So the, yeah.
I was going to ask you yesterday.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to interrupt Jeff because he's a question guy.
I appreciate that.
There's a law as to viability in the length of time after birth that the child survives, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, 30 days for a male and
30 days
for a female?
Yeah, that's why we do pigeon on Ben. We wait for 30 days.
Right. So that it's what a viable. What happens if in a situation where the child is born as a male but doesn't last 30 days?
Ben, that's why we wait, but you're right, that's why we wait day 30. So that's the Rokeach, that it's a Svek Sveka. So the question is, what's the rule in general if when you have a double doubt, but you have a chance to verify the doubt? Is one obligated to verify if something is permitted based on a double doubt? So is one obligated to try to figure out the doubt? So I can say, no, it's a double doubt. I can put the head in the sand and that'll be it. So the Rama writes that you don't have to, the Rama writes in Yeridaya, even though he talks about with chicken wings and bones, but he says even though based on Svek Sveka, you don't have to be, once it says Svek Sveka is mutter, you don't have to
investigate.
And the Shach quotes the Yesh Omrim, the Yesh Cholkim, others disagree and say you do have to. In general, whether you have to verify a double doubt, what's the issue at hand, whether you have to verify a double doubt or not? The issue at hand is, how do we view Svek Sveka, how do we view it? In other words, is it a statistical thing? Well, okay, so it's two doubts, so 66% chance that it's okay. Or, no, it's like, I'll give a mushel. Let's say someone goes into, you walk into the store, you go to the kosher section, and you see 50% off. So you get the steaks are at 50% off. You got it. Something's wrong. That never happens. So you look closely at the label. It says Safek Doraisa. We're not sure if this meat's kosher or not. It got mixed in with the treif meat. So we don't know, so we'll give you 50% off. It's a good deal. So the question is, okay, so you're feeling hungry, you're feeling lucky, you go barbecue and you have the steaks, and you love them. Of course, a couple of minutes later, you start feeling guilty, like, maybe I shouldn't have had them, and you're worrying about it at Mea the Esrim. You're worrying about it until you go up to Beis Din Shalmala, the heavenly court at 120, and you quickly call over the angel and say, well, on July 2nd, when I had that meat, was it kosher or not? So the angel said, your lucky day, it was kosher. So you feel great. You go into God, and you know, they have the scales, and he takes that piece of meat, and he puts it on the Avera, on the sin side. He said, what are you talking about? I spoke to the angel, and the angel told me it was kosher. He said, no, you don't get it. When the Torah says, Safek Daraisa L'chumra, even though it might have been generated from a doubt, but once Chazal passed and it's usher, we don't care about the reality anymore. Once Chazal's, and similarly, if it's Safek Drabanan, if you end up eating non-kosher, but the halacha says Safek, you're allowed to rely on it, and even though I'll leave it to Emes, it turned out to be, it's not an issue. That's the halacha, Safek Drabanan, it's Bitores Vadai. So therefore, if you assume Svek Sveka works Mitores Vadai, so therefore, I don't need to mavarer. There's no doubt anymore. The halacha states it's mutter, end of discussion. The shach goes with the opinion, no, that Svek Sveka is not mitam vadai, it's mitam suffik, but it's a 66% chance, so therefore we're being mako. So that'd be the issue in terms of one has to even mavarer clarify a Svek Sveka. So we're mako like the Ramah. Well, and you don't have to. And the No de Behuda takes it a step further. He says, even if you want to be machmir like the Shach and say you do have to be mevarer, but that's only when you can clarify both doubts. If you only can clarify one doubt, so then you're not obligated. So yeah, Jeff.
If you want to go into this now. What's the lambda set? You only have to do it if you can clarify both doubts.
Because how is it helping then? If I can't clarify both doubts, then what's the point? If I'm not going to get clarification, I'm not going to get full clarification. Then the only time you say you're mechayev to mavara, if I could get the facts and figure it out. If anyway, I'm going to end up at the end of the day being in doubt, so there's no verification happening. Okay. So you know. In terms of that, so therefore it comes out. So that's a fundamental machlokes, the Shach and the Rama in general, whether Svek Sveka works mitores vadai or mitores suffik, and that's what we discuss. So during the time of the Rokeach, you couldn't. There was no clarification, but bizman hazeh, when we have, it depends if you're in Canada, America, ultrasound or sonograms, depending how you call it. Oh, roll up the rim. So it depends on how they clarify. So the question is, today that we have a sonogram, so number one, would one be obligated to take one? Oh, pregnant. Yeah.
Yeah.
when you walked in here and started
to... the original question is, of a wife of a, the pregnant wife of a Kohen, can she enter a cemetery? Because maybe she has a male fetus in her.
Okay. I've got another, there's another subject. How about just the wife of a Kohen?
Wife of a Kohen not pregnant?
How do you know she's pregnant?
No, well, I don't.
Don't know she's pregnant.
No, it's obviously, we're assuming if she doesn't know she's pregnant, it wouldn't be an issue.
But the point is that she never knows whether she's pregnant. Well, then it's not that she never knows. I mean, she never knows in advance.
Right. Also, no. I guess. Right.
So
I guess.
It, so I would say the thing has to be the wife of a Cohen. Period.
Right. So you want to?
She might be pregnant.
You're saying.
You don't realize you're pregnant.
Right. You want to say maybe a wife of a Cohen should never enter a.
Exactly.
Right. Assuming it ends up being a problem. Right. So I guess but the Chazal never took it that far in the word, because then you're a tohu anohu. But you're right. You could, if you want to be machmir. First, I'll take it even further. Forget about a wife of a Kohen. The minhag Yisroel is any pregnant woman doesn't go into a... it's only once she knows she... It's a general minhag that any pregnant woman doesn't enter a cemetery.
Why?
But because the ultimate life is... It's like two lives, a woman and how she has her fetus inside her, and cemetery represents death. So therefore, that's just a custom. This isn't halacha. Like it's a strong chassidish minhag in terms of pregnant women. That's not halacha. But you're right. Economy. That's anything in life. So let's say. So even if you assume it's prohibited, but if you're an honest, if you don't have the answer, so therefore you don't. You know, we generally don't worry about it. Right. But if we assume it's a problem, at what point does the wife have to stop getting worried? You know, do we assume she has to know she's pregnant, or does she have to be concerned she's pregnant without knowing it? Yeah. So, yeah.
Because the pregnancy is really a danger to her life, never mind embryo. You have to understand, you're bringing in here an entity that has two entities. First of all, her life, and she, let's say, loses that child. That's a child, but her process...
Right, that it's not a problem like 300 years ago because there was a double doubt. But the implication of the Rokeach is, it would only be one doubt, or if it wouldn't be a Svek Svek, it would be prohibited. In other words, the Rokeach is assuming it's a question... a male fetus in the womb is a problem of going to it. That's the assumption of the Rokeach's question, that a male fetus inside is a problem. Since we have a double doubt, we don't have to worry about it. So today with sonograms, if you would take a test and find out it's a male, so then the Rokeach would be machmir. He'd say, assuming we accept sonograms in halacha, so then it would be a problem for a male Kohen to go in. But that is the point of contention. Others will disagree with the Yesod and say it's not a problem being a male, even if it is a male fetus inside, it's still not a problem. Either because we have a principle of tuma belua, we have a principle that the fetus is encased. So therefore, even when the Ashes Kohen goes inside, the tuma doesn't go in because it's protected, because like a womb, like the halacha by a ring, if a ring is and also in terms of if someone takes the ring, swallows it and goes into a cemetery and then comes back out and they get the ring's not tummy because the ring was encased in the womb. Others say that only works by a foreign object, but by pregnancy that's a normal way. Like the Gemara says in Yavamas, a Gentile woman who's pregnant is converting to Judaism, so she goes to the mikveh. So what about the child inside? Once the child's born, do they have to go to the mikveh again? So the answer is no. The mikveh that the woman went to, how could it count? If it's a chatzitza, it's a separation, the answer is no. Haini ribusa, that since it's a natural thing, so it's not considered a chatzitza. So we count the conversion, that means it wouldn't help. So therefore, a pregnant woman going in, they argue, wouldn't be a chatzitza. And then thirdly, they discuss whether, at what point does the male become a fetus? In other words, so some say, even if you want to assume all these things, it's not a problem because it doesn't become a fetus until birth. It's uber yerech imo. We have a principle. It has the status of the mother until it comes out. So even if you want to tell me all the chumras, you want to tell me that you're concerned with the fetus, your tuma bula, but nevertheless, we don't consider it a male until it's born, and therefore it wouldn't be an issue. So many poskim are lenient regarding this question. There are those poskim who are machmer and say that she shouldn't go.